Chapter 24. To create a debris field that would be convincing to the sensors of an Elder AI, we needed to scatter actual pieces of Valkyrie's hull around the area. Thankfully, we did not need to leave enough mass to account for the entire ship. That would have been a major problem. The plan was to arrange the pieces in roughly the configuration of our battlecruiser, then detonate a nuke in the center, or roughly where a cargo bay would be in the imaginary ship. Hopefully it would look like we were attacked by an Elder AI and activated the self-destruct to prevent us from being captured. Skippy told us the missing mass didn't need to be accounted for. Any AI scanning the area would assume a type of Elder weapon had been used. Remember way back during our second mission when we got stranded on Newark? Before our extended vacation on that delightfully tropical world, we discovered moons where part of the surface had been scooped out as part of a perfect sphere. Skippy had explained those craters were the result of an Elder technology that had transported a section of that moon into another dimension, or something like that. Those sites were erased as the Elders cleaned up their stuff before they ascended. A base on the surface of a moon was not worth sealing off the entire star system, like the Elders had done with the extensive facilities in the Roach Motel. Simply scoop the base into another dimension and forget about it. Yes, that process left a curiosity for future visitors to wonder about. But the Elders didn't expect there to be intelligent life in the galaxy after them. You might ask, if there were not supposed to be filthy meat sacks flying around the galaxy, why did the Elders go through the effort of cleaning up their stuff and protecting valuable star systems with guardian machines? It's simple. They were paranoid. An energy barrier protected the galaxy from attack from outside, but wasn't good enough security for the Elders. In case an outside entity somehow came through the barrier, the Elders didn't want to leave any of their stuff lying around for ready use. A force that was able to cross the vast gulf between galaxies might have exhausted their resources during the journey and need raw materials to repair their ships, construct habitats and weapons here, that sort of thing. By removing their bases, the Elders denied invaders a ready source of exotic materials. They also deprived the invaders of an easy way to judge the technological level of the beings who called the Milky Way their home, even after they ascended. Anyway, we needed to scatter debris from Valkyrie at the rendezvous site, but obviously we did not want to sacrifice our actual ship. The solution was simple. First, in the debris, we would include items like discarded clothing and any sort of broken junk aboard Valkyrie we couldn't use. Normally, that useless stuff would be recycled as raw materials for the ship's fabricators, but instead, we were piling it up in an empty cargo bay. When cleaning bots were done with their assigned jobs, they emptied their bins in a special chute that scattered their dirt and whatever in that cargo bay. So the material we planned to scatter in the debris field would be covered in filthy monkey DNA. That took care of making the debris field look convincingly like it had come from Valkyrie, since it had. It helped that an Elder AI would not be familiar with our ship and wouldn't know what to look for. While Skippy was confident he wouldn't have been fooled by our ruse, he was equally confident his peers would buy the story that someone else had attacked Valkyrie. We had personal items and broken junk from our ship. We could cut large sections out of the hull, and we needed enough mass to sell the story. Mass that had a chemical signature that matched our hull, and it wasn't good enough to just take and blow up another Extinction-class battlecruiser. Each batch of armor plating came from the factory with a unique signature due to variations in the manufacturing process. Skippy's sensors could tell which factory had made a particular batch of armor plate. Most of the time, he could identify the day that plate was made. Ships had armor plates replaced over their long service lives due to battle damage, accidents, and the need to remove armor for major repairs of components under the exterior hull. So, typically, a ship had armor plates, reactor shielding, and other components swapped at shipyards and sourced from other ships in their repair facility. Still, most of the mass that made up Valkyrie was still identifiable from the ships we took to build our unique battlecruiser. That was the key. Valkyrie was constructed from multiple hulls, and we hadn't used every piece from those donor ships. Back when we used a cosmic bagel slicer to create Valkyrie, we cut apart several ships to assemble our badass battlecruiser. The armor plating of Valkyrie had been exposed to conditions that the spare parts hadn't endured. Wacky shenanigans like blazing through an atmosphere more than once, exposure to radiation from multiple battles, and other hijinks we'd somehow survived. Skippy said he could use the ship's maser and particle cannons to bake the spare parts so they had a convincing signature, so I agreed we needed to collect the spares we'd left behind. Many spare components were taken away from the bagel slicer site with us, and some of those spares eventually went to Club Skippy, or Jaguar Base, as it is now called. But we ditched a bunch of hull sections that Skippy decided we didn't need, especially after Ragnar Shipyard became available. All we had to do was fly to where we had discarded those sections, attach them to Valkyrie's hull with really big bungee cords, and bring the stuff to the rendezvous site. There was a concern that having a bunch of large junk attached to the hull would make Valkyrie vulnerable if we got ambushed, so I considered requisitioning a star carrier from Jaguar Base for trash hauling duty. After discussion with senior staff, I decided the risk was low, and I had to consider that going to Jaguar represented a security risk. The crew was sworn to secrecy about the Elders coming back, but the crew were human, and they were being asked to not mention that the Elders are coming back, OMG. It was unrealistic to expect that no one would let even a bit of the truth slip in a moment of weakness. Or the crew could say a lot of little innocent things that people at Jaguar could put together to start dangerous rumors. Hell, I was worried about my own big stupid mouth sticking to the cover story when I met with Admiral Chatterjee and his staff. The cover story we'd cooked up was that we had taken a hostile Elder AI from the Rindaloo, and now we needed to investigate whether it had infiltrated wormhole networks and other Elder constructs. That story explained why we hadn't flown directly back to Earth. It was a good story. The story wasn't the problem, although I'm sure Chatterjee would know I wasn't telling him the whole truth. The problem was Margaret would certainly know I was lying to her. As a Marine, as a senior NCO, she wouldn't be upset about me keeping secret the details of a sensitive operation. Instead, she would be upset if I revealed secret info to her because I was worried about her feelings. She would probably punch me if I did that. The truth is, I just didn't want my life to get any more complicated than it already was right then. Margaret would not only know I was lying, she would know I was scared out of my mind. Then she would be worried about me, and she had enough to deal with. So, no star carrier. We didn't need it anyway. But not for the reason I thought. Sir, Smythe nodded to me as he walked into my office. He had called asking to discuss something important. Of course it was important. Colonel Jeremy Smythe didn't call me to discuss the prospects of his favorite cricket team in the upcoming season. If he has a favorite cricket team, squad, whatever you call it. I didn't even know if cricket teams had a season or if the games went on continuously throughout a year with long breaks for tea. Okay, maybe I'm being unfair. Smythe, I gestured toward a chair. He sat stiffly with a grimace. Are you okay? I asked with concern. For the star team leader to show pain, he had to be seriously hurting. He also looked tired. Not just tired, he was worn out. That was alarming. I'll be fine. I'm seeing Dr. Skippy shortly. He assured me he can fix me up good as new, he said. Though the look on his face told me he would prefer to deal with the pain than submit himself to Skippy's scary medical bots. What happened? I was curious, since that morning's daily status report had not mentioned any serious injuries among the crew. No new serious injuries. Everyone had reported as 100% combat capable. That included the star operators. The subject wasn't just a matter of idle curiosity for me. Having a significant portion of the crew injured or sick could affect combat readiness, and a trend of increasing sick calls and mishaps could indicate morale was slipping. When morale was low, people got distracted and made mistakes. I volunteered to test a new version of our heavy mech suit, he grimaced, and that time his discomfort wasn't caused by physical pain. There are issues with the software. Another digital assistant you didn't ask for? Not this time. I expected an up-armored version of the suit would react more slowly than the standard model. It did the opposite, and I wasn't prepared for the result. Hurt my back. The heavy unit is faster? That surprised me. Major Frey had shown me the prototype up-armored suit while it was still being constructed, and the thing looked ponderous. It had extra energy shield projectors, thicker armor plating, including an outer layer of nanoscale reactive armor, and a second layer of armor underneath that could rapidly shift position to cover a potential area of penetration. To protect the user, there was additional padding on the inside and a shock-absorbing field that soaked up some of the kinetic energy that could disable the squishy meat sack inside the suit. The stars were calling the new model a Hulkbuster, and I could see where they got that name. Smythe nodded. Skippy's design logic is that if we ever go into action with that version of the suit, we are matching up against a near-peer adversary. In that case, speed is as important as armor. Uh-huh. Did no one else on your team volunteer for the testing? I raised an eyebrow. They all did. Yet you stepped forward. I nodded, trying to keep the disapproval I felt from creeping into my voice. Smythe's adrenaline junkie nature caused him to take too many risks. I had talked with him about that, about the need for him to lead the team, not be the first person through every door. He was in exceptional condition for his age. He could certainly kick my ass. But he wasn't the young man who came aboard the Flying Dutchman for the mission that resulted in an extended stay on Newark. The action in the tunnels under the surface of the planet Ardu demonstrated Smythe was a stone-cold badass, no question about it. He had been forced into direct action by the circumstances at the time, and I hadn't faulted him for his decision. Actually, I recommended him for a commendation. Still, I was perhaps overly sensitive to any sign he was allowing his desire for action to override his judgment. Yes, sir. I was concerned my people might be a bit too eager to test their new toy. Oh? He sighed. I might be getting too old for this shit, sir. You and me both, I muttered. If I hadn't been cautious while testing the suit, I might have been seriously injured. Anyone on my team would likely not have been so cautious. Experience served you well, then, I grinned. With a shrug, he said, What bothers me is not that I was clumsy. The suit is a prototype. Accidents happen. I'm bothered that I wasn't eager to test our new toy. You weren't? That tells me I might be getting too old. I snorted. Oh, bullshit. Sir, the problem isn't you getting old. The problem is you have done so much crazy shit out here that testing a new toy doesn't get your blood pumping anymore. He sat up straighter in the chair. You think so, sir? I know you, I nodded with a grin. Damn, my remark had made his day. The worn-out look was gone, replaced by his usual wolfish grin. Perhaps you are right about that. I'll see what I can do about getting you and your team into some real action. So what did you want to see me about? I think we should revise the rendezvous site. What's wrong with the site, Skippy suggested. We, meaning the senior staff, including Smythe, had reviewed the list of candidates provided by Skippy, and we all agreed his top choice was indeed the best option for meeting a potentially friendly and potentially hostile Elder AI. Nothing is wrong, except that Trips has had those coordinates for an extended time. Oh. Ah, shit. You're concerned it could be screwing with us, get to the site early, and ambush us while we're planting the debris field? Quite so. That, I tilted my chair back to stare at the ceiling, is a good point. Flopping the chair back to look at Smythe, I asked, We should contact Trips, tell it we will send new coordinates when its ship is ready for flight?
Whoa!
Skippy's avatar appeared as I expected. What are you talking about? I already told Trips when and where to meet us. Are you trying to make me look bad? It's not about you, Skippy. It sure sounds like you want to embarrass me. Skippy, I'm doing the opposite of that. I'm trying to ensure that your, I almost said playdate, meeting with Trips is successful. You're thinking about this wrong. You tell Trips that you're changing the rendezvous site and time because you're convinced about bad guys crashing the party. You're concerned about that, and for the safety of Trips, because you have been kicking ass across the galaxy for years, so you have many powerful enemies. Well, geez, Joe, I don't know about that. Me telling Trips about all the extreme awesomeness I've gotten into sounds like I'm bragging about myself. Muhammad Ali said it ain't bragging if it's true. Right, unless you talk about your accomplishments all the time. Bragging just isn't me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean... He exploded with laughter.
Oh, you are so gullible, dum-dum. Come on, boasting about awesome stuff I've done is totally me.
So you're in?
I'm all in. This is a great idea. Wow, I was trying to think of a subtle way to mention my extreme awesomeness to Trips, and now you have reminded me that subtlety is for losers, baby.
That's not quite what I am Skippy the Magnificent, not Skippy the Humble.
he blew a raspberry. I actually can't argue with that. Plus, telling Trips it has to wait for me to provide the coordinates makes it clear who is in charge here. Is that how you want to renew this friendship? Hey, your true friends love you for who you are, right? Sort of. Come on, Joe. If anyone else was as awesome as me, would they be humble? I don't think so. Why should I be held to a higher standard? Smythe shook his head, a simple warning gesture. I got the message. It never hurt to boost Skippy's ego, and arguing with him was generally a waste of time. It was out of our control anyway. Trips would either think Skippy is a jackass or not, or it wouldn't matter. Trips could ignore his allies' boasting to focus on their common goal. Skippy could take the credit or the blame all by himself. Okay, Skippy. I let out an overly dramatic breath. You know best how to deal with your peers. In the back of my mind, I considered that even if the beer can alienated a potential ally at their first meeting, there might be a second chance. Skippy could tone down his ego and try again. Or there could be other potential ally AIs out there. All I know is that I told him the truth. I had no idea how to deal with another Elder AI. Just keep it short, please. Tell Trips you will provide the revised coordinates and timing when it's ready for immediate flight. That, and I give details of all the incredible stuff I've been doing, right? Like I said, it's best to keep the message short. That's not fair. How is Trips supposed to know why I am called the Magnificent? You hint about it, and you say you can provide the full story later. Trust me. Trips will be dying to know all the details. Oh, another great idea. You are on fire today, Joe. Okay, I'll send the message as soon as we are in range of a wormhole. I checked my phone. Valkyrie was jumping toward a wormhole on the way to picking up the first set of discarded warship sections. In about 5 hours. In the meantime, I need Colonel Smythe brought back to full operational capability, I said with a grin. Ah, Skippy waved a hand. All he needs is dry socks, a glass of water, and 800 milligrams of Motrin.
Hey, Joe.
Skippy's mumble was barely audible, which was a problem since I was running on a treadmill in the gym and could have hardly heard him anyway. Really, all I understood was that he was depressed or heard about something. That mumble with the implied sigh was not how he usually announced we had yet another impossible freaking problem to tackle. He was often gleeful about that. Hey, Skippy, give me a minute. I hit the emergency stop button and hopped off as the treadmill ground to a halt. A guy pointed to the machine and I silently mouthed, "You got it," with a thumbs up. He had a cleaning rag to wipe it down before he used it, so I picked up my towel and walked out into the passageway. What's up?
We received a reply from Trips.
He made an exaggerated sigh. Oh, shit. Bad news?
Nah. He will wait for instructions and meet us wherever in 6 days.
That sounds good. What's wrong?
I explained the need for caution. Trips responded that it was surprised I had revealed the coordinates up front and suggested I implement better information security.
Oh, well, that's...
When I hinted about some of the awesome stuff I did, it replied that it has already been studying my actions from the records available, which are extensive. Trips expressed shock at how reckless I have been and pointed out several ways I could have done things better. It dared to give me suggestions. Unsolicited advice is nobody's favorite thing.
Hindsight is always...
It said, I am lucky that I have you monkeys to feed my innovative ideas. It is impressed by you, not by me.
You know, I'm liking this Trips more and more. It suggested that when we meet, I should take a back seat so it can work with you to tackle the problems.
Well, we should certainly explore all of our options. With what a jerk. Now I'm not sure I want to meet Unit 333 at all, he sniffed. You know what? The rendezvous is off.
Well, look at the bright side, Skippy. How can there be a bright side to this debacle?
Maybe Trips is secretly evil, and that will be revealed when we meet.
Oh, good one. That would explain its disrespect, he muttered. I mean, there's no other reason for it, right?
Well, that is a very good point, he muttered.
Ah, he sighed. One way or the other. This is now going to be a very awkward meeting. Everyone hates getting advice they didn't ask for. Well, duh. Is there anything Unit 333 did during the war that you now realize it could have done better? Oh, I should smack it in the face with its own mistakes?
You should have a list of those mistakes ready if it insists on being a jackass to you.
As if it won't be a jackass. Joe, all I heard was smack it in the face.
Skippy gleefully analyzed his side's actions during the AI war, what few details he remembered of it, and created a long list of screw-ups that were Trips' fault, according to Skippy anyway. He was happy and eager to arrange a rendezvous. We got the first section of the decoy ship's hull located, chased it down and matched course and speed, then dropships very slowly and carefully maneuvered the thing into position where it could be attached to Valkyrie. I said the pieces would be attached with giant bungee cords. That wasn't quite true. We actually used nanofiber cables wrapped around each section. The cables were not only tough, they were smart. They could automatically pull tighter or relax as needed to hold the piece securely in place. The fibers could also separate completely when commanded, so the ship could clear for action as needed. If we anticipated combat or flew into an ambush, the pieces could be quickly ejected. That was good, because once all the pieces we needed were in place, Valkyrie would look like a flying junkyard. Most of our defensive cannons would be covered. Energy shields and stealth field projectors would be offline. Missile launch tubes blocked, and we would have clear access to only one dropship docking bay. Fortunately, that hazardous situation would last for less than 2 days if we were able to keep to our revised schedule for meeting Trips. Everything was going according to plan until it wasn't.
Joe,
Skippy whispered in my ear while I was watching dropships hold a massive discarded section of a ship's forward hull in position. I was in the conference room we'd set up to manage the operation, not because the crew needed me to supervise them. I was there to show my support for their efforts. Also because I didn't have anything to do and felt kind of useless. Holding up one hand and pressing the other to the ear Skippy had spoken into, I caught Reed's eye as I walked out of the room. She nodded and turned her attention back to guiding her pilots. "What's up, Skippy?" I asked when I was in the passageway.
"We got trouble. The Elders just sent another message. They are demanding to know why none of their AIs have responded as the Elders instructed."
Oh, shit. Oh, shit indeed. This could be a good thing for us. How? No AIs have responded. That could mean no other AIs are awake right now. Do you listen to yourself talking, or are you amused by whatever inane nonsense comes out of your mouth? Think, dum-dum, think. We know Trips is awake.
Right, duh. Sorry.
It probably does mean that if any other AIs are awake, they have not been able to get to a wormhole yet. The communications method the Elders threw together requires the channel inside a wormhole. Their ships could be disabled, or the process of reactivating a ship after such a long time is more complicated than I understand. When I awoke, my ship was already flightworthy.
Okay, well, maybe you need to respond to the Elders.
Listen, dum-dum, I told you, me giving them a cheery reply that everything is okie-dokie here, that Opie's distress call was a mistake, won't work. The Elders aren't stupid. If they don't hear a reply, the Elders might try something radical.
Hmm.
Well, shit. Actually, we're screwed anyway. Even if I do reply and they believe my line of bullshit, another AI could contact them and tell the truth. I thought of that. The communication method the Elders instructed you to use. Can you block that channel?
No,
can't be done.
Why not?
The reply will utilize the existing communication channel inside a wormhole network, right?
Again, that is correct.
Joe, to block any other AIs from using that method to contact the Elders, I would have to hack the comm channel in every wormhole network across this galaxy and beyond. It can theoretically be done, it's just not practical. That would take far more time than we have. Before I got half of the channels blocked, most of my peers will probably be awake.
Shit.
Maybe I should stop asking stupid questions.
I hate to say this, but you asking ignorant questions is how we get new ideas.
Oh, thanks. What happens if no one replies to the Elders?
My guess is the Elders will move to the next step of their plan.
What's that?
Nothing good for us, that's for certain.
The same thing will likely happen if one of my peers contacts the Elders, except that would be worse.
Once the elders learn of the shenanigans that have been going on since they left, they will certainly escalate their timeline to return, or whatever steps they plan to take before that. Before you ask, no, I have no idea what they plan to do. We are in uncharted territory here, Joe.
Yeah, no charts, but we know there are rocks in every direction. Okay, what do you think? Should you contact the elders or not?
If I sent a reply, what would I say? They built me, Joe. I'm sure they have a way to tell if I'm lying. What worries me is if they discover I am active and that I betrayed them, they could target me directly.
They could send their other AIs to attack you?
Something like that, yes.
I don't know if there's a way around this problem, Skippy. If you don't reply, someone else will.
Yes, but like I already told you, my replying won't stop my peers from also contacting the elders. It's not like the elders will turn off their phone after the first reply they receive.
I know that. I'm trying to buy time for us.
Hey, could Trips reply for us?
Maybe, if Trips is on our side, and if it agrees to take the risk, and if we can think of anything useful for it to say. Anything remotely intelligent to say, because so far, we got nothing. Also, if the communications method the elders told us to use is not two-way, so the elders can't use the call to hack into whoever replies.
Shit, is that possible?
For the beings who constructed the wormhole network and protected sites like the Roach Motel, anything is possible.
Okay, I took a breath. Let's forget about sending a reply.
That's what I said last month, but then you had to blah, blah, blah the subject to death.
What? You didn't say anything about this last month. We didn't know the elders were...
The beginning of this conversation sure feels like it was a month ago.
Yeah, I had to agree. I hear you.
Valkyrie had two sets of broken ship sections attached to the hull, and we located, chased down, and matched course and speed with the third section, the largest piece we planned to bring to the rendezvous site. Getting the third section attached was not a simple matter of using another set of bungee cords. The life of a pirate could never be so simple and easy. No, first we had to remove the second section and allow it to float a safe distance away, then loosen the cables that held the first section. The first section was gently maneuvered just a short distance, then secured again. The whole process was a pain in the ass. To fly in anything resembling a straight line, Valkyrie needed to be reasonably balanced. That's why the smallest section is the first one we got, and even then the ship swerved all over the sky like a drunk on a skateboard. With the second section in place, the balance improved as the two sections were on opposite sides of the hull. We also pumped fuel and part of our water supply from one side to the other. Anyway, with the first section where it was supposed to be, the third section was gently pushed into place, and the process of looping cables over it began. By that time, Reed's pilot teams were experts at using their dropships as tugs, and we fixed the problems with the attachment hardware that made the first section awkward to work with. To show Reed that I had full confidence she could handle the job, and because there wasn't anything useful for me to do, I was monitoring the operation from my office. Sims had the bridge, and my presence there would only distract her, which left me catching up on paperwork.
Fun? I hated every moment of it.
What's wrong, Joe?
Skippy appeared on the desk.
Nothing. I just hate doing all this administrative crap.
Don't most general officers have aides to handle grunt work for them?
Yeah.
The Army had offered to provide an aide for me, a major who was a career staff officer. I met the guy. He seemed nice enough, and his evals indicated he was energetic, competent, discreet, and pretty much everything you could ask an aide to be. I told the Army thanks for the offer, but no. There was limited space aboard Valkyrie, so adding a crewman who couldn't fly, fight in a mech suit, or maintain the ship would be one less person who could perform a vital task. Also, having an aide would insert a layer between me and the crew, a barrier I didn't want. The purpose of my open-door policy was so the crew had access to me, or at least felt they could have access when needed. A field-grade officer acting as my aide would control my schedule and control access to me. There was also the undeniable fact that it was good for me to do boring paperwork. It reminded me of how much of my crew's time is taken up in non-value-added crap.
Generals need aides to handle stuff like writing speeches, because most generals have desk jobs, Skippy.
He snickered.
You said that while sitting at your desk.
You know what I mean. I felt my face growing red. Most generals don't spend a lot of time in the field. I am always in the field. If you say so, it... His avatar froze, then winked out. Bilby, I called the ship's AI immediately. If Skippy was busy dealing with some personal crisis, he wouldn't be able to talk with me. What's going on with Skippy? Like, something heinous, General Dude. He locked up. I never saw anything happen so fast to him. Whatever's going on, he's still with us, just dealing with some serious shit. I did detect a signal from the Collective just before Skippy went linear.
You can read messages from the Collective?
No, man, but when signals come into a comm node, there's some bleed-through into local space-time. Like, I know a signal was received, but I can't see the content, you know?
Right.
Pressing a button on my phone, I contacted Sims. XO, Skippy just went offline and we don't know why. Cancel the latching operation immediately. Emergency eject the sections that are attached. Move the ship a safe distance away from the sections and tell the dropship pilots to get clear. No, wait. Tell the dropships to get back aboard. We might need to jump quickly. Bilby, do you see a problem with any of that?
No, dude. It's just the big section is partly attached now. I'll have to instruct the nanofiber cable to disintegrate. Detaching abruptly will induce, like, an uncontrolled spin on that section. Yeah, we'll have to start from the beginning.
Understood. XO, you heard that?
I did, sir. Will do.
I'm coming to the bridge now.
I walked quickly toward the bridge to tell Sims what was going on, but just before I walked through the doorway, Skippy spoke in my ear.
Oh, I am so pissed off right now.
I froze. A guy in the doorway of the bridge looked at me curiously. I waved at him and stepped back outside.
What happened to you?
The elders just tried to kill me. That's what.